Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra daf Chaf. We left off on daf Yud Tes Amud Beis. We were in the middle of the sugya of rakik. Right, the Gemara had said that rakik einu memayit b'chalon. If you have a wafer in the window, and normally in order for tumah to pass from room A to room B, if the rooms are connected by a window, the window needs to be a tefach by a tefach in order for the tumah to go through. So if the window is made smaller than a tefach by a tefach, the tumah will not go through. So the only thing is, anything you put on the windowsill, let's say, is not necessarily going to make the window smaller. If you put a wafer in the window, if you're not totally mevatel the item that's in the window, let's say, you don't completely mevatel the item you put in the window and make it a part of the wall, then it's not considered to be memayit the window. It's considered something in the window rather than a part of the wall up to the window, and therefore the window is still considered to be a tefach. So that's what the Gemara had said, that Rav Tzvi Bar Kisna says in the name of Shmuel, a rakik is not memayit in the window. It's not going to make the window less than a tefach by a tefach. The Gemara said, not only is something edible, like an ava, which is a thicker piece of cake, which is ro'i for use, it's not going to be memayit a window, where obviously it's not going to be memayit because you're going to take it, but even a rakik, which is gross, which is disgusting, still one might have thought you're mevatel it there, kamash malan, that you're not. So frak the Gemara, but anyway, it can't be memayit b'chalon because it's not mekabel tumah. It is mekabel tumah. Anything that's mekabel tumah itself is going to become tameh, and obviously, therefore, not stop the tumah. The only thing that's going to be able to become part of the chalon, where part of the windowsill, where it's going to be memayit in the chalon, is something that's not mekabel tumah. So the Gemara said that this rakik must have been kneaded with mei peros, and since it was kneaded with mei peros, it was never hukshal kabel tumah because it never came into contact with one of the Zion Mashkin. So we left off, the last word in line is Meisvei, about 8 lines, 10 lines before the end of the page. Meisvei, Kupa Malaya Tevin V'chavis Malaya Grogros, if you have a box full of straw, or a barrel full of dates, figs, hamunach bechalon, that are put in the chalon, rowan kol she'ilu yinatlu v'yicholin tevin v'grogros l'amal d'fnei atzman. We view it as, we have to take a look and see, and view it as if the box or the barrel were not there, could those fruits, the contents of the box and barrel, be able to be omade in the window by themselves without the box slash barrel holding them together, then chotzitzin. Then the contents are going to be chotzitz in the window, and they're going to be considered something that is part of the wall. The imlav, but if they could not stand there on their own, ein chotzitzin. Then they're considered only temporary, and therefore they're not going to be memayit in the window. So frek the Gemara va tevin chazi levehemto. But wait a second, isn't straw something that you might still want to use for your behema, and therefore it's not there for good? It's not, you're not being mevatelit at the in the window. So the Gemara says besaria, it's a rotten tevin, and therefore it's not good to use for your animals. Your animals won't eat it anyway. So frak the Gemara b'chazi latina, you can still use it to produce cement. So the ispekutzi, it has thorns, so it's less than ideal for cement production. Chazila saka, but what about the fact that you can use it for a fire? You can use it as firewood still. So matuna, it's moist, and therefore it's not good for firewood either. Chazila has a gadol, but it still could be used for a big fire, because when you use moist wood for a little fire, it's not going to catch. But if you have a huge fire, you could throw in some moist wood. The moisture will immediately dry out, and then the firewood will be useful for the large fire. So it says, "Why has a gadol oshchiach?" Not so common to make a hesek gadol. So that was in terms of the tevin, but the Brisa gave two examples: a kupa malaya tevin and a chavis malaya grogros. So it says, "Why grogros hachazulei? Why are the grogros not able to be used? You could eat them." So Amar Shmuel, bishehitrifu. No, they're all wormy, so they're not usable. V'chein tani rabba baruvua bishehitrifu. So frak the Gemara, wait a second. We're talking about items in a barrel, in a box, and we say we view as if the barrel or box were not there. Could these items stand on their own? What about the barrel and box themselves? Do they play no role? So frak the Gemara, haicha v'seichidamio. What's the case of this barrel that's in the window? Idip humalavar, if it's the opening of the barrel is facing the room that does not have the mace, that does not have the tuma in it, because again, the metzius that we're dealing with is two neighboring rooms that are connected by this window. One room has a mace or a tuma in it, and the other room does not. And the tuma would normally transfer through if there's a posech tefach between the two rooms. So if the barrel is facing outside, meaning to the room that does not have the mouth of the barrel is open to the room that does not have the mace in it, and the bottom of the barrel is faced toward the room that does have the mace in it, higufa techutz, then the barrel itself should be a chatzitza. Because when we assume stam barrel, we're assuming is a klicheres barrel. Da klicheres ain't a matame megabo, and the halacha is a klicheres cannot become tame from the outside. Klicheres can only become tame from the inside. So if the outside of the klicheres, meaning the bottom of the klicheres, is facing the room with the mace, well, that's going to be chotzitz b'fnei tuma right there, because it can't allow the tuma through, because it won't become tame from the outside. But so what's the issue to begin with? Why are we talking about what the halacha is of the items that are in the barrel, the contents of the barrel? Look at the barrel itself, and that could solve all our problems. No, it must be that the mouth of the barrel, the inside of the barrel, is facing the room that has the mace in it. Or you could suggest the olam de pum levar, the mouth of the barrel is facing the room that does not have the mace in it, and who said it's a klicheres? Maybe we're dealing with a barrel made out of metal, and since it's made out of metal, a metal kli is mekabel tuma. Metal kli is mekabel tuma, even from the outside, not only from the inside. A couple of interesting tosos. And over here, higufa techot says tosos v'tema, hechi techot olam mevatalei hasam. What do you mean? It could be a chatzitza. The barrel itself will stop the tuma. You're not mevatal the barrel there. Isn't one of the requirements in order for it to stop the tuma not only that it not be mekabel tuma itself, but that it be something that is going to be there permanently? So what are we talking about? If you aren't mevatal the barrel there, how could it be chotzitza? Now, if it's got rotten grogros in it, so the whole barrel becomes disgusting. We're talking about a klicheres. The whole barrel is going to be, it's not easily washable. The whole thing has become disgusting, and it's no longer usable for you, and therefore you're going to be mevatel it. Aval kashalari. We discussed a similar case, and the Gemara assumes that if you're not mevatel something there, then it's not going to be chotzeitz. And you can't say in that case that we're talking about where you are mevatel something in the window, because being mevatel something on Shabbos is an iser, it's bona b'Shabbos. So Tosfos says the yesod now. V'nir l'rabim tamu l'ri d'klicheres lo bayi bitul el shaper chotzeitz af al gav d'lo mevatelei. It's not necessary to be mevatel klicheres in the window. V'ad d'ktani l'kaman d'klicheres m'mayit b'chalon upar klicheres achazilei. Aye, but the Gemara is going to say that klicheres also, if it's ra'ui for use, and therefore you have not been mevatel it, it's not going to be m'mayit b'chalon. Hasa mayri b'm'mayit chalon mikashiur. Aval eno sosem kala chalon. That's the yisod of Tosos. That there's a chilek between being mima'et, the size of the opening, and completely closing up the opening. When it comes to being mima'et, the size of the opening, say in a kanami, you need to be mevatelet there in order for it to be chotzeitz. But when we're talking about something that physically entirely closes the opening, then you don't need to be mevatel. L'hachi bai bitla, aval hecha de sosem kala chalon, ki hacha de ktani chotzitzin. The mashma the sosim legamri chotzitzin implies that it completely closes. V'chein ha'u depaku asa ma'or hasam in the same misach Shabbos vaday lo bayi bitul b'klicheres. Then you don't need to be mevatel. It's good enough just to have it there. And Tosos adds v'odam harav rabbeinu Shmuel dekliets nami sheinu mekabel tuma kigon ha'asui lenachas lo bayi bitul b'perek pasu de Megillah. That similarly misachas Megillah, if we will be clear that a kli eitz that's not mekabel tuma, also does not require bittul. Gabe hu be knishta di Yehudai davas psichala hu indruna dahav be misna. There was a Jewish shul that was opened up into a room that had a mace in it. Uboi kahani lutzliba, and Kohanim wanted to be able to daven there. So what happened? So ultimately what happened? Dalute vusavo svura bava. They decided to take the Arun Kodesh and move it right by the opening, right by the door, to stop the tumma. But vitzarich bittel my mahani hayteva the mistamelo bitluasham. Right, if you require bittel, then what does it help to move the aron over there? It doesn't help because they weren't mevatel the aron over there. They weren't mevatel it, and still it works. Why does it work? Because it closes the entire opening. When it closes the entire opening, it doesn't require a bittel. Plus, in that case, you know they weren't allowed to be mevatel. The sefer Torah munach ba vasal shenosu b'davaracher d'mal mekadosh lomaridin, because sefer Torah was kept there, and even if the sefer Torah wasn't there right now, an aron kodesh that was used for a sefer Torah cannot be used for something else of lesser importance. So they couldn't be mevatel and say, okay, now it's just going to become part of the wall. You can't take an aron kodesh and make it part of a wall. The Aron Kodesh has to be the Aron Kodesh, right? It's not even allowed to go down in the Kedusha. So again, the idea is that when we're talking about being Mimait B'chalon, so then we're going to get into the discussion whether you're Mevatel or not Mevatel. When we're talking about completely closing a Chalon, there's no discussion of being Mevatel or not Mevatel. One more Tosos, B'chavish L'mateches, right? The Gemara said that if it's a metal Chavis, it's Mekabel Tumah on either side of it, and therefore it's going to allow Tumah to get through. Hikshra the way we're picturing the case, how thick is the wall already? Let's say the wall is, the thickness of the wall is, let's say, 2 tvachim. The height of the chavis, which is sitting on its side in the wall, has got to be more than that. Let's say it's 5 tvachim, whatever. So it sticks out on either side of the wall. Right, so the chavis is not only it's balancing in the wall, but it's also has the top of it is in one room and the bottom of it is in the other room. So even if the bottom of the chavis is in the room with the base and the top of the chavis is in the other room, that itself should be able to transfer the tumah. Why? Because if you're going to say it's a kli mateches, we have a concept. That a metal kli that comes in contact with the mace becomes not an avatuma, but a viavosatuma, has the status of the mace itself. It becomes literally kichalal. It becomes like the mace itself. So since one end of the chavis is in the same ohel, is under the same roof as the mace itself, so doesn't the chavis therefore then become the entire chavis, become like a mace itself, and then go and be metame everything in the other room that it's protruding into? Through, just like a mace would be metame, everything in the other room it's protruding into. It's able to be metame other things ba'ol. The whole pasuk about cherev harei kachalal, we darshin regarding tumas ohel. We relate it to tumas ohel. So it says, tells us in your Rabbeinu Tam, da'acha mari gonshar grogus boltos chutz lefi chavis, so he says you have to make a tremendous echitimtza. You have to say that the grogros that are inside this barrel, this metal barrel, are stuck along the entire walls of the barrel and overflow along the sides and along the lip and the rim of the barrel, and to the point that the metal of the barrel does not stick out into the room. It's completely covered. So since it's completely covered, it's not going to become tamei from the mace that's in the room. Good, that's what you have to say. Otherwise, we're not going to have any explanation of why the metal barrel itself does not become tamei. Just thinking out loud over here, the whole case of the matachos was only assuming that it's puma levar, that the opening of the barrel was outside toward the room that did not have a mace. So that's what we're saying, that even though the back of the barrel did become tame and does have a din of a mace, it's not metame the items in the other room, in the room that does not have the mace, because on that end, the metal is not exposed on that end. Why do you think they chose grogros as the example as opposed to apples? It's got to be something sticky that could stick onto the mouth of the barrel. And they're not going to fall down. Va'odom Rabbeinu Yitzchak, da'hacha mari b'she'en chavis yotzel chutz l'kosel. We might also be talking about a barrel that's not that big and doesn't protrude outside of the wall. Da'hasha derech ha'chalom lo yavatuma l'bayis, t'tuma ritzutza b'kas v'yola, v'enim espashetas l'tzadin, sh'ayim b'p'seach tefach. Right, the halacha is, even if it only protrudes on one side to the house, let's say, that has the mace, does not protrude into the house that does not have the mace. So it becomes tamei like a mace itself, right? But now it's not going to go into, it's not going to be metamei the other house. Well, why not? If a mace in room A is going to metamei people in room B and everything in room B through poseach tefach, why should an item placed in that poseach tefach that has a din of a mace not be able to affect room B the same way? So Tosfos explains a very important yesod. Why is the mace in room A able to affect what's going on in room B? Because it's already filling up the room with tumma. How's it filling up the room with tumma? It's in an ohel. It's in a room that has way more than a tefach of height, so it fills that room with tumma. So anything that's considered a hemsheikh of that room is also going to be filled with tumma. But the item in the window, the chavis in the window, doesn't have a poseach tefach on top of it. It's filling the window. So that's like a mace that's underground that doesn't have poseach tefach, where the tumma just shoots straight up. It doesn't go off to the sides. So even though the barrel Einachinami might have a din of a mace itself, the tumma is only going to go straight up in the wall and be mitame everything above that spot in the wall. It's not going to be mispashet. It's not going to go out onto the sides. So again, the yesod of this tosos essentially is that if the metal is exposed on both sides, it should be metame in the other. Chavis itself should serve to transfer the tumma because of cheref harei kachalo. So you need to say that it's not exposed on both sides, either because it's covered completely by grogros, or because it simply doesn't reach out and protrude on the other side. That's how Tosfos has to say. Now, if the Paras Yosef in the back of the Gemara has the following ha'ara. He says, "L'fima shakasva tosus nazir dibra maschil tashema tosus nazir daf nun dalar and bay," says as follows: "Shalach lo Rabbi Chaim Cohen eze bayis tivneli ayn sham dal kark dal tumas cherev arei kuchol ein Cohen muzhar." Tosus makes the ha'ara mesachlus nazir chiddush and nazir daf nun dalar and bay, that although we say cherev arei kuchol, that a metal utensil becomes like a dead body in a certain sense, it's not like a dead body in the sense of the isser of a kohen to be metame to it. It's like a dead body in the sense of the level of tumah that it's navi avos in terms of what it can be metame, but it is not like a dead body itself in terms of whether a kohen can or cannot be metame to it. A kohen is not allowed to be metame to a dead body. Is allowed to be metame to a cheref harehu kechalal. So im kain. So if so, Tosfos kasha is not really a kasha, because Rabbeinu Tam asked the kasha in our Tosfos, what do I care that whether the tumma transfers through based on what's the contents of the barrel? Anyway, the barrel is going to bring the tumma from one room to the other. Yes, the barrel will bring the tumma from one room to the other, but can a kohen go into room B? If it's only the barrel that's bringing the tumma from one room to the other, kohen is allowed to go into room B. If it's the mace that's just whose tumma is coming directly because the window is not closed and the tumma is coming straight from the mace, then the kohen is not allowed to go into room B. So that's Paras Yosef's very good ha'ara based on that tosos l'chora. There's no kasha of our tosos because there's a enochinami. The tumma might transfer through from the process of cherev harei kachalol, but nevertheless it's still enough kamina because a kohen would still be allowed to enter there. So that's his ha'ara. Okay, says the Gemara weiter. Meisvev, the fourth line, Meisvev. Asavin shetal shotin, if you have grass that you've uprooted, v'nichon b'chalon, and you stuck it in the window, o shalom e'alein b'chalon, or it just grew like ivy on its own in the window, umatlon yoshein ben shalosh al shalosh, if you have pieces of cloth that are less than 3x3 tfachim, va'ever va'abasa mudadalm b'behema b'chayi va'ov sheshachem b'chalon, or you have either a limb or flesh that's hanging off of a behema chayi va'ov that's resting in the window, va'ovid kuchavim sheyasha b'chalon, or you have a non-Jew sitting in the window, uben shmona hamunach b'chalon, or a baby born in its eighth month that's sitting in the window, because the Gemara always assumes that there are two types of pregnancies. There are certain pregnancies that in 7 months the entire the baby gets everything it needs and is ready to come out, and other pregnancies where we assume that it takes 9 months for the baby to be completely formed. And therefore, the most dangerous type of birth is assumed to be when the baby is born in the 8th month, because it's not going to survive. It was a 9-month pregnancy that didn't make it to 9 months, and the baby is not going to survive. So ben shmona munach b'chalon, v'amelech, or if you have salt, or klicheres v'sefer Torah, or you have a sefer Torah, kulam mimatan b'chalon. All of those things that we just mentioned can be mimayit b'chalon. You're able to keep in the window in a way that it's going to stop things from, it's going to stop tumah from passing through the window. So, but on the other side, but all types of snow and ice and sleet and all this kind of things and water are not going to be mimayit b'chalon. That will not stop the tumah from transferring, from going from one place to the other. So now the Gemara is going to go through each item on the list and say, wait a second, are you really mevatel all these things? Right? Because all these things are about being mimayit, going back with Shita Satosos, they're not totally closing the chalon. They're being mimayit b'chalon. So you need to be mevatel every one of these things in order for them to work. So that's what the Gemara is going to work on. Are we really mevatel these things? Just first a couple of tos. Sin va'ov sheshachan b'chalon, says Tosos, near da'asi afilu ramer damar kol davar sheish baruch haim enos noso lo dofen l'suka v'lo lechi l'mavoy. Right, the Gemara says in Masech Sukkah and Masech Zervin that anything that's alive, that is Ruach Chaim, you can't use as a dofen l'sukkah or a lechi for a mavoy. So basically it's not able to serve as a mechitza. And yet by us we're saying that the live animal is able to be mimayit b'chalon. It's able to become part of the wall that's mimayit b'chalon. So how could that be? So he says, no, dahainu lin mechitza sasar tfachim dafka, aval hachal lin mimayit b'chalon, mimato b'kol dover shivatlenu. That there are different halachas. When it comes to making a mechitza sasar tfachim in a chinami, it's not okay. But when it comes to being mevatelit in the window, it is okay. And again, there's a ha'ar of the Poros Yosef. He says, Kasha, the hacha mashma, the kibun di chalul levrach, shuv lo havi chatzitza, the imlokein lo kasha, dilma mairi de chazinun de lo barcha. We must be assuming that since it's able to run away, anything that's able to run away is not going to be a good chatzitza. And he says, the ilum sech suka kamra gemara, hadainel sin bali chaim dofel masuka, velo lechi kamra gemara, in mesech suka, where we say that a bal chai can't be a wall on a suka, the gemara says, says Abai Yamar Chayshinan Shem Thomas Rabbi Zera Yamar Shem Tivrach Ulamad Yamar Gzera Shem Tivrach Lo Chayshinan Mashma Da Tam Hu Mishum Gzera Avol Lo Yinu Gozrin Havim Mechitza Ma'al Yisa Af Sheichalu Levroach. He says over there the mashmaus of the Gemara is that why is it that the Baal Chai can't be a dofen for the sukkah, a wall for the sukkah, only because we're afraid it's going to run away. So it's all because of the gzera. But if you get rid of the gzera, then there's nothing on a d'oraisa level, there's nothing wrong with it. It could have been a mechitza. So, but over here, it sounds like in our Gemara, it sounds like it's since it's able to So he says that's a raya that in our Gemara, that since it's able to run away, that's why it's unable to be a chatzitza. So he says ve'efshal hayalomar dahasam dafka li'inyin mechitza hu da'amrin da'af she'yachal avroch havi mechitza. That he says maybe there are different halachas, like Tosa said, by mechitza of asara versus a chalon. But what he says is the exact opposite of Tosos, meaning the only thing that would work for this teretz, where the problem is that over there, really be'etzem we're saying it's good, it's just a gezeira shema tivrach, whereas over here, we're saying that a bal chai be'etzem is no good, even if it's, when it's able to run away, when it's able to move. Be'etzem it's no good, forget about a gezeira, when it's able to move. So the chilek is going to have to be the exact opposite of what Tosos says. So it's a very difficult sugya to figure out how this fits exactly. Tosfos takes from the opposite extreme, that just on the pashut level, that the Gemara says over there that the Baal Chai can't be, and over here says that the Baal Chai can be. But he says, if you look a little deeper, over there it says the Baal Chai can't be because of a gzeira. And over here, the only reason the Baal Chai can be is because it's not able to move. But if we're able to move, then it would be okay. So then it would not be okay, rather. So it would not be chotzeitz. So that's it's a stira on that level, and then the chiluk would have to be in the opposite direction. Okay. Good. Says the Gemara Vayter. So now let's analyze each case that the Brice had quoted. So frak the Gemara v'ha'asavin chazal behemta. The first example we gave is grass. That grass that you've ripped up from the ground, we said is mimayit b'chalon. But isn't it right to use to feed to your animals? Says the Gemara b'afrasta. It's a type of grass that's not right to use to feed your animals. Rashi says it's poisonous grass. So osha alumei alehen. We said the next case in the Mishnah was it grew on its own. It wasn't something you detached from the ground. Even the kasha of the coastal shakalahu. So fracking marble, wait a second. Even if it's poisonous, aren't you definitely going to take it down because it's not good for the wall? Ivy is not something you want growing on your wall, so you're going to take it down. So I'm a rabbi because churva. It's a coastal that you don't care that much about. It's a coastal of a churva where anyway it's a rune, so you're not interested in protecting the wall anyhow. So you're not going to take it down. Rav Papa, I'm rafilu because yishuv bebaitin chutz l'shlosh l'chalon. That it could even be talking about a chutz mishlosh l'chalon. It could even be talking about a normal wall, but it's a little bit far away from the wall, and it goes into, and only the it doesn't grow along the wall, it grows far away from the wall, and it's just the tops go through the window. So that way, it's not a threat to your wall in any way, and therefore you're not going to take it down. Next example we gave, matlonios, a shmata, right? So, frektamar chazale de kriya de levusha, but isn't it right to use to make little shmatas out of, to make little handkerchiefs or whatever? So it says, gemara b'samichta, no, it's very thick, so you're not able to rip it up and to make smaller cloths out of it. Chazal umna, but isn't it still good to use for the umna, for the bloodletter, who's able to use it to wipe up blood? So it says, gemara b'riska, no, it's very scratchy, so it's actually very bad for the bloodletter to use. Ibriska, shein ben shalosh shalosh, shein ben arba al arba mi ba'ilei. But if it's very scratchy, so then why do we say ein ben shalosh shalosh? It would need to be much larger in order to be able to be mekabeltum in the first place. You should say ein ben arba al arba in order for it to not have the status of something that's mekabeltum. So Mar says, no, ke'ein riska. It's not literally riska, it's like riska in the sense that it's not usable to wipe up blood when you do bloodletting, but it's not quite the same. Then we said you have hanging limbs of an animal that are in the window, so shouldn't you be worried that the animal is just going to take off? No, it's tied down, and therefore you're not worried that it's going to take off. But if it were not tied down, right, then it would not be mimayit. So but aren't you still going to shecht it, so you're still not mevatel it there because you're going to take the animal out and you're going to shecht it? No, but tmeya, it's a non-kosher animal, so there's no concern. Masmalom nachri, but you'll sell it to a guy even if it's a non-kosher animal. B'kchusha, no guy in his right mind wants to eat this animal. It's such a weak, it's such a shvacha animal, he's never going to eat it. So you're not going to sell it to a guy. Pasuk shagadol klavim, but you still might take it out and throw it to the dogs. No, you wouldn't do that because it's tzar b'alechayim, so you wouldn't throw it to the dogs because of the tzar b'alechayim element. To who? To the animal in the window. It's tzar b'alechayim to rip off its limb and throw it to the dogs. Fractosos, that's only tzar b'alechayim if you rip off the limb and throw it to the dogs. Tosos v'mtomar, kulu behema shakal v'shadi l'klavim. If you throw the entire thing to the dogs, that's not tzar b'alechayim, that's just a normal way of feeding the dogs. That's not torturing the animal. He says it must be a type of animal that you're not going to throw the whole thing to the dogs. That's not meant to be thrown entirely to the dogs, and dogs would only eat one limb of it anyway. So that's why it's an issue of tzar b'alechayim to throw it to the dogs. And as we discussed on Shabbos, tzar b'alechayim is a din d'oraisa. We're just not, the Gemara b'Metzia says that tzar b'alechayim is d'oraisa. We're just not sure exactly what the pasuk is that teaches us that there's an issue of tzar b'alechayim, but there is an issue d'oraisa of tzar b'alechayim from somewhere. The Rav Asher Weiss has 11 possibilities of where the issue of tzar b'alechayim might come from. Okay, va'ov sheshachan b'chalon, we said a bird that's in the window. So frak the Gemara parch vazil, why isn't it just going to fly away? So it's the Gemara b'kosher, no, it must be tied down. Shachatay, why don't you just shecht it? B'tamei must not be kosher. Masmalei nachri, similar line of questioning. You'll sell it to a guy. No, b'kalnisa, where it's very weak, and therefore the guy doesn't want it. Yavle liyanuka, but maybe you can give it to a child to play with. Sense is going to be misarit. Now you're not going to give it to a child to play with because it's going to scratch the child, it's going to hurt the child. So it's a type of bird that's not safe for a child to play with. So Frekimar Kalnisa Lamasarta, but wait a second, you just said that it's a Kalnisa, which means it was very weak, and therefore those types of birds don't scratch, though they don't hurt children. So Gemara says, no, Ke'en Kalnisa, it means it was weak like that kind of bird, but it wasn't literally the kind of bird that's not going to hurt the child. It's still going to be a threat to the child. The Mefarshim in the back of the Gemara, the Ram Shtrashon over here makes the Ha'ara, he says, L'chor etzorchim yishabas, the Gemara Mesach Shabbos Tav Tzadiyam Bey says that it's Asr Litin Latinok Of Tameh L'sachik Bo. You're not allowed to give a child a non-kosher bird to play with. Why not? Dilma Achalei. He might get hungry and say, yeah, looks delicious, and he might eat it. So V'ulai Ratz Lomer D'yav, so meaning the Kasha is, our Gemara says, ah, oh, it's not kosher, that's why you're not going to shecht it. But you might give it to a child to play with. So what do you mean you might give it to a child to play with? You're not going to give it to a child to play with. It's also to give it to a child to play with. So what's the Havamina? So it says the Ram Shashon, V'ulai Ratz Lomer D'yav Le Latino Kovit Chavim. Maybe it means you'll give it to a non-Jewish child. You have a non-Jewish neighbor, so you give it to their kid to play with. Oh, Efshe de Kalnisa, Uke'en Kalnisa, or it could be that the kind of bird that we're talking about is the kind of bird that a child who is inclined to eat live birds would not even eat that. So it's apparently something that he would not eat. So it says in Gemara Vayter, Vavid Chacham Shiyashu B'Chalon, you have a non-Jew sitting in the window. So Frek Gemara, how could that be Mimayit B'Chalon? Chay Vazil, he's just going to get up and go. So it says Gemara B'Kafos, no, you tied him down. Asi Chavri Sharilei, but he'll call somebody, a passerby, who will untie him. He'll call his friend to untie him. So B'Mitzori, he's a Mitzori, so no one's going near him. Asi Mitzori Chavri Sharilei, okay, he'll find another Mitzori to come and untie him. So Ela B'Chavushi Malchus, no, he was captured by the king, and no one's going to risk their lives to untie him. Uben Shmona Hamunuch Bechalom, next example was a baby born in the 8th month that's resting in the window. Asi Ime Daryalei. So says Gemara, but wait a second, its mother is going to come and take it. So says Gemara, b'Shabbos, it's on Shabbos, and the mother's not allowed to take it on Shabbos. Titani ben Shmona Hareu Ke'even. Halach is that it's muktzah. Since it's for sure going to die, it's not considered something that's totally alive, so it's like a stone. V'asul tatl b'Shabbos. The baby's muktzah on Shabbos. Avlimo shochol av menekasim ne'asakana. The only way to feed the baby is the mother can lean over and nurse the baby in that way, but not to lift the baby up. Unbelievable. She can't even lift the baby up. So since it's Shabbos, you're not worried that someone's going to take the baby, and that's why it's Mamayit B'Chalon. The Tosfos points out, Vairi Begosis, she almost called him Shietzei HaShabbos. What about the fact that after Shabbos, she'll take the baby? No, it's a Gosis, and you know the baby's about to die. The baby's not going to survive Shabbos. But then after Shabbos, you'll for sure take the baby to bury it. Tosfos, no, you have to say Shamtei Kvuraso. They're planning on burying the baby right there in that window, and it's about to die anyway. So that must be the case, otherwise it's for sure going to be taken eventually. So Tosfos has to fill in the blanks for us over there. It says, Melach, we had listed salt on the list of things that are Mamayit B'Chalon. Chazilei, but can't you use Melach? So B'Mirirta, no, it's bitter salt. Chazilaros, you can still use it to tan hides. De Ispa Kotzi, it has thorns in it. Kivin the Kasha the Kosal Shakla, but if it has thorns in it, it's probably not good. Salt in general is not good for the wall, so aren't you going to take it away anyhow? So Diasva Chasmin, it's sitting on a shard of pottery, so it's not doing anything to the wall itself. Then the shard of pottery itself should be the chatzitza. What do you even need the melach? The less pashiura. No, it's not large enough to be chotzeitz. Keditnan cheres kedei litein bein patzim lechavero. The cheres to be of significant size in regards to Tzad Shabbos, the Mishnah is talking about, for what you're chayiv on when you're motzi a piece of cheres on Shabbos has to be enough to put between rows of bricks in order to be considered large enough. So you see the concept that a cheres needs to be a certain size in order to fulfill certain abilities in halacha. Tosfos discusses what in the world that has anything to do with our case. The size of a cheres for Tzad Shabbos has absolutely nothing to do with our halacha. We don't have time for it now, but Tosfos makes the ara. Klicheres, says Gemara, chazilei, isn't the klicheres usable? So says Gemara, de mitnaf. That the klicheres, which was the next case in the Mishnah, is not usable. It's all dirty and it's not cleanable. Chazil umna, can't it still be used by the blood letter? So it says, where the menakev? No, it has a hole in it, so it's not usable. Sefer Torah was the next case. Chazi the Mikra, meaning you can take the Sefer Torah to read from it. Pevalui, no, it's all worn out, so it's no longer usable to read from. But by Geniza, but wait a second, then it requires Geniza. It needs to be buried. So Shamtei Geniza, yeah, and they're going to do the Geniza right there in that wall. Just like, and that's where Tosos got the idea to say that they did that with the baby, that must have been the plan with the baby, that they plan on burying it right there. Amarav, but Kolos and Mechitza, Chutzmi Melech Urevav, Ushmul Amarafilu Melech. You can make a mechitza out of anything, except for with salt and grease. And Shmuel says even salt. Amar Papa Vlo Pligi. Hab Melech Sdomus, Hab Melech Strakonis. It depends what type of salt we're talking about. Melech Sdomus is very thick and hard, and Melech Strakonis is normal Melech. V'hashadam Rabba Osadam Shnei Tzibori Melech Maniach Leim Kora, Sha Melech Mamedus as a Kora, V'akora Mamedus as a Melech, Afil Melech Strakonis. But now that we heard this statement of Rabbah that a person can make piles of salt and put a beam on top of them, and the salt isn't going to scatter because the beam is weighing down on top of it, so it's going to keep it in place. And so at the same time that the salt is supporting the beam is supporting the salt, so that could even work if you're not talking about Melech Sdomus. That could even work with regular salt. So then you could say that Melech could sometimes be used for a wall, sometimes not, depending if there's a beam resting its weight directly on it. My time, why do you have to be Marchik Rechaim from the wall? Mishum Tiraya, you have to be Marchik because of the vibrations. V'atani v'shal chamor, shloshim v'neshtrovel shein arba v'nakelas, hasamai tiraya ika. But when it's the Rechaim shel chamor, which Tosos says chamor is not the animal over here. Chamor is it's not that a chamor works the mill. Chamor is what we call the binyan eitzim, the wood structure that carries the rechayim. But anyway, there's no tirai over there, so it says ma'al mishum kala, must be the noise, that it's the noise that it makes. So the noise of the mill. Rashi understands in one day that no, it is a chamor, it is a donkey, and kol hanagas a chamor, the braying of the donkey is what makes the noise. And you have to be marchik your oven from your friend's wall. What you see from here, from the one tefach differential, is that the kalya of an oven is one tefach. So you can know when you're being cheated in mekach memkar if it's really one tefach. Says the Mishnah, the Yamid Adam Tana B'toch Habayis Adam King Yeshal Gabav Gova Arba Amos. Person should not put a tanner in a house unless there's four amos on top of him. If he has an upstairs neighbor, he's got to make sure that there's four amos of clearance till you get to the ceiling, so that he doesn't damage the guy on top of him. Hayim Amida Ba'aliyah, if he's on the top floor, Sarek Shei Tachtav Mazivah Shlosh Tvachim, you need a base that's three tvachim tall in order to prevent damage from to the guy underneath you. Ubikira Tefach, but if it's a Kira, which is much smaller, much less intense heat, you only need one tefach. And if it damages, then you have to pay for the full damages. Rabbi Shimon, meaning even if you were marchik and you did all the precautions, you followed every safety precaution, but then your oven went and did damage, you're still going to have to pay for it. Rabbi Shimon Amar Lo Amru Kol Hashiurim Elu El Shem Hizik Patur Mil Hashem. He said, what are you talking about? The whole reason we have these shiurim is so that if you do damage, you won't have to pay. Once you take the precautions, you follow the code, that's it. You're not going to have to pay if it does damage because it's not your fault anymore. You're not allowed to open up a bake shop or a dye shop underneath your friend's otsar, your friend's storage area, and also not a cattle ranch underneath your friend's storage area. But with wine, if your friend stores wine upstairs, then you're allowed to have the dye shop and the bakery, you're just not allowed to have a refes bakar. Three more lines. Don't we have a braisa that says, Atanur is arba, akira is shlosha, so the numbers don't match up because we said akira is only a tefach. That the Kira that we're talking about over there is the Kira of Nachtomin, and the Kira of Nachtomin needs three tfachim underneath it, just like our Tanur does, because the Nachtomin obviously uses a much bigger Kira. Okay, we'll pick up from the two dots tomorrow and catch up.